Welcome to Native America Calling. Joining you by Skype from Albuquerque, I'm Monica Brain. While staying home, waiting out the pandemic this year, many of us turn to arts and entertainment for comfort. TV shows, movies, books, and artwork provided a much-needed escape from some of the difficult realities of 2020. Today, we're going to check in with some of our favorite Native pop culture mavens, a journalist, a filmmaker, and a writer, about what they watched and read this year. We'd like to hear from you. What pop culture did you turn to during the pandemic? Call us at 1-800-996-2848. We're back right after the news.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. The Sisseton Wahpeton Oyate tribe is starting to give COVID-19 vaccines to healthcare workers and elders, as South Dakota Public Broadcasting's Lee Strubinger reports.
The first of 300 vaccine doses will go to healthcare providers, doctors, nurses, and in-house employees who deal with the public every day. The tribe will then vaccinate law enforcement and first responders. The rest of the doses will go to elders. Allison Renville is a spokesperson for the tribe's DARE COVID-19 response team. She says some people have concerns about the vaccine, but a majority of tribal members support and trust the healthcare industry.
You know, we're losing language keepers and knowledge keepers, and our reservation here has lost like a couple of handfuls so far of people to this virus, and we can't afford to lose any more.
The Sisseton tribe received the Moderna vaccine at the Woodrow Wilson Keeble Memorial Healthcare Center on Monday morning. That's where shots will be administered until the next vaccination phase. For National Native News, I'm Lee Strubinger in Rapid City.
Tribes, fishermen, and environmental groups filed a lawsuit Wednesday to restore roadless rural protections to Southeast Alaska's Tungus National Forest. Attorney Kate Glover of Earth Justice says the incoming Biden administration could reverse the Trump administration's decision to strip the National Forest of roadless protections. If that does not happen, the lawsuit seeks to restore them.
We think they'll recognize the importance of the Tungus for climate change, for the whole world, as well as the wrongs that happen to tribes throughout this process and the importance of keeping the forest intact.
Five Southeast Alaska tribes have joined the lawsuit, all withdrew from consultation with the federal government, saying that their input was ignored. Tribal President Joel Jackson of the Organized Village of Cake says the Tungus is traditional homeland tied to food security.
We've lived here for 10,000 years or more, and we've practiced our way of life in these ports and on these waters all around our communities. And, you know, if we lose that, we're going to lose part of our identity.
And that identity, he says, would be threatened by the loss of their ability to feed themselves from the land. 10 Canadian correctional officers are facing a range of charges after the death of an Indigenous man while in custody. As Dan Karpinchuk reports, there are few details about the incident, which took place in 2019.
It happened in St. John's, Newfoundland, at Her Majesty's Penitentiary, and involved a physical altercation after two prison guards went to the cell of 33-year-old Inuk Jonathan Hanok. Three of the guards face a charge of manslaughter. Seven face charges of criminal negligence causing death. After the altercation in November of 2019, Hanok was taken to a segregated unit, where he was pronounced dead. He had been in protective custody at the time of his death. The names of the guards have not been released, but there were 8 men and 2 women. Hanok had been in prison awaiting a first-degree murder trial. He had been accused of killing an 88-year-old woman in her home in Happy Valley, Goose Bay, Newfoundland, in July of 2016. Lawyer Bob Buckingham is representing Hanok's family. They are considering a civil suit over the death. Buckingham welcomed the actions taken against the correctional officers, but he's also raising questions about what he calls special treatment given to the officers charged. Police did not include the officers' identities when they were arrested or under what conditions they were released. Buckingham says it's abhorrent that they've been released under police-imposed conditions and that their names have not been made public. Buckingham has also been calling for a public inquiry into Hanok's death. For National Native News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation with funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Support by the Association of American Indian Physicians and the SAMHSA-sponsored Opioid Response Network, working across the nation to address the opioid crisis in tribal communities. Information and support at aaip.org. Support by BNSF Railway, proudly supporting the nation's economy by moving the goods that feed, supply, and power communities across the country. More at bnsf.com/tribal relations.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
This is Native America Calling. I'm Monica Brain, joining you from my home studio. Despite the pandemic, 2020 was not a total loss when it comes to pop culture. Many studios halted productions and theaters shut down, but the coronavirus also offered the opportunity to catch up on a lot of shows and movies. We're starting off with Vincent Schilling, one of our favorite Indigenous pop culture nerds, about movies and shows he got excited about this year. Vince is the associate editor at Indian Country Today. We'll be discussing the New Mutants in the X-Men universe, as well as the new Disney Plus series Hawkeye, which will feature a Native character named Echo. But first, the TV channel FX just recently announced a series order for a show called Reservation Dogs. It's written by Maori director Taika Waititi and Sterling Harjo, who is Seminole and Muskogee. Variety writes that the show is about four Native teenagers in Oklahoma who spend their days committing and fighting crime. Joining us now to talk about it is Vincent Schilling from Indian Country Today, and Vince is Akwesasne Mohawk. Welcome back to Native America Calling, Vince.
Sego. I don't know if I've ever been the first guest before. I guess I'm moving up in the world.
We've elevated your status here on the show, for sure. All right, so what are you excited about with Reservation Dogs?
Well, you know, it just looks trippy and weird. I mean, I'm wondering if it's a takeoff of, obviously Reservation Dogs would be a spin off of Reservoir Dogs. And I've been kind of following a little bit, and they've been a little tight-lipped about it, you know, and what Variety kind of put out is pretty much what I put out as well. I don't have a lot of information. I keep going back and forth with Sterling, being like, hey, give me some insights. And he's like, can't talk about it yet. So I'm like, all right. So we've been going back and forth. But, yeah, it stars DeFerro Wunatai, Devery Jacobs, Paulina Alexis, Lane Factor. There's also going to be a lot of Indian country actors, you know, Tamara Podemski, Zahn McLaren, of course, Zahn's one of my favorites, Macon Blair, Kirk Fox, who else? Maddie, Carter Opel, Dallas Goldtooth, and then Little Mike and Funny Bone, you know, the guys who did the rain dance. So you know, it's got a lot of Native talent going to be in there. So I'm very curious. You know, it's a testament to, you know, the inclusion of Native stories in the mainstream, and it continues to gain traction. So it's nice to see.
I know I don't know if it's going to be the first, because, you know, we have Sierra Ornelas's series that's going to be on NBC Peacock that also has Native characters in it as well, which I'm pretty excited about. Have you checked into that one?
We got even Yellowstone, and, you know, although that's obviously not strictly Native series, it's Kevin Costner's ranching family against the, you know, I forget what the name that Gil Birmingham is the chief of. I can't remember. Broken Rock. And, you know, that's kind of a trippy series, too. So it's pretty intense. I always kind of like Kevin Costner's take on giving some voice to Native actors and a narrative. So it's good to see.
Oh, that's a bold statement. I'll throw that out there to our listeners. What do you think about Kevin Costner and how he, you know, has included Native people in his work throughout the years? And today is our pop culture roundup. We're talking with Vince Schilling from Indian Country Today. What did you watch this year?
What did you catch? Did you catch any Native actors in anything? And give us a call and share, 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. I want to add another voice to the conversation. Joining us from Cheyenne, Wyoming, is Pierre Barrera. He's an actor and director, and Pierre is Lakota and Klamath. Welcome back to Native America Calling, Pierre.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
So I know you're a big pop culture fan, but you actually had a small part with in working on Reservation Dogs. Tell us about what you can share about it.
What I can share, I did what they call the on-set dressing, which means I took care of the sets for the art department while they were filming. And what I can share about the show is basically what has already been shared. I can't reveal much else other than that because the incredible visionary that Sterling is, he wants it to be silent until we can all see it and we can all have our own vision of it. So he's a great person to work with. Taika is also wonderful guy, really nice person to see in when they're working, especially when they work together. It's amazing. And this is, you know, this series is something that I've been striving for, and Sierra's series as well, since I got into the entertainment industry, which was way back in college in 1988. That tells you how old I am. But I started off in stage, and I was on stage for the first time and saw how people reacted when, you know, a Native person was up there and, you know, was performing my role. And I thought, how can we make this happen for all Natives? What if we had all Native actors? What if we had all Native directors and writers and producers and all that? And way back in 89, this is the goal I've been striving for. So being a part of Reservation Dogs made that happen for me. And I want to make sure that it keeps going. It's Sierra show keeps going. I think it's going to be fun to see the two of them, you know, rise up and show what Native people can do.
I know, because we haven't really seen a lot of Native faces, predominantly Native faces in TV shows throughout time. You know, that's like single characters, and every once in a while we get excited about it or we get upset, right? We talk about this on the show. And to have a whole series that's just Native focused, made by Natives, it's pretty exciting. What do you think about it? Give us a call, 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. Vince, anything else you want to share about, you know, this, dare I say, like potentially a renaissance of Native characters and Native actors and directors and writers coming up?
Well, it's a little nerve-wracking, you know, and nail-biting, because you want anything that to come out right now to do exceptional. You know, you want it to do really well so that these, you know, voices in Hollywood, the producers in Hollywood, see it, because the many times what really genuinely resonates more than anything else is the amount of viewers and how much money can we make off it. So I am very hopeful with Sterling and Taika that they'll bring some really hilarious energy to it. And, you know, Taika's name behind it is a big push. I just really am hopeful, you know, but we'll see. But there's for every step forward, there's always a little step back, you know. I'll talk about it in a little bit if you want. Example, News of the World. Tom Hanks.
Yeah, let's talk
tomorrow.
About it. We have a little bit of time
before
the break.
I reviewed it. I previewed it. Yeah. Yeah, I could tell you about
it. Yeah, so this features Tom Hanks. Is that right?
Yes. Absolutely. Yes, it did. And I posted the review in Indian Country Today yesterday. So if you guys want to check it out, you can check it out. It's my Native Nerd movie review on News of the World.
Yeah, so tell us about it.
okay, you know what? It was exceptional. Tom Hanks did absolutely incredible. He was really, really, just really fantastic. And the little either Norwegian or German girl, Helena Zengel, she plays Johanna. And she was excellent, too, but there was just one glaring thing, and I was just like, no! And the story is Johanna was supposedly kidnapped by Kiowa. They're in Texas, and Tom Hanks reads newspapers to people who drop 10 cents in a coffee can, and he'll read the local newspapers, kind of like the internet of, 1800 or whatever, brings it to the people. And so he picks her up, he finds her. She doesn't speak English. All she speaks is Kiowa words, and her family supposedly was killed. Now, you don't know if it was Kiowa or not. It's a little aloof, but there is a sense of like, wow, there's a bloody murder of, non-Native people, possibly by Natives. And I was a little like, okay. You never know the story, so I just kind of looked at it. But then, Monica, then, Pierre, then, she goes into like this dining establishment with Tom Hanks, and they set down a bowl of stew in front of her and a spoon, and she looks at the spoon like, hi, I'm a caveman, blah, blah, I don't want a spoon, no. She just shoves her hand to the stew and starts just rubbing all over her face as she's eating, and it's kind of like, oh. So if you're raised by Native people, this is how you eat. You just grab it by the handful, smearing it onto your face, shoving it down your throat as if there is zero manners. So the sense that the director Greengrass, he still sees the Native narrative and the identifying, factor in Native people is that, we are still savage, impolite, ill-mannered, buffoons who just can't even think to say, oh, that's a spoon. Maybe I could use that as a utensil to eat the stew. And it was just, it's the one thing that just stuck out at me, and I couldn't let it go. I just couldn't let it go. And I tried. And other than that, the movie is exceptional.
The thing is, like, Vincent, like, it's like also saying, like, as Native people, we don't have any feelings in our hands for burning hot stew
that we're ladling
on our face. Yeah. Well, I want to talk more about that. And also, I want to throw that out there to you, the listener. Did you see something with Natives in it this year that you just shook your head? Even if it didn't come out this year, but you were catching up and you want to share it with us, give us a call. The number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. We're going to go to a short break.
There was a lot of great Native music in 2020. And a diverse handful of artists shared their inspiration, passions, and music with us over the year. We'll take a look back at some of the special moments from the Music Maker shows and catch up with a few musicians to see what else is in store in the future. That's on the next Native America Calling.
Support for this program is provided by AARP. AARP creates and connects people to unique tools and programs, helps conserve personal resources, and tackles the issues that matter most to individuals, families, and communities. What AARP does might surprise people. For more information and resources, including member benefits, AARP advocacy, and more, go to aarp.org.
You're listening to Native America Calling. I'm Monica Brain. It's our pop culture roundup show today. What shows and movies did you watch this year? Were there any with Native characters in it that you want to mention? Give us a call. The number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. Vincent Schilling is with us. He's the associate editor of Indian Country Today. Also, Pierre Barrera. He's an actor and director. And before the break, we were talking about Tom Hanks' newest movie, News of the World. Pierre, Vincent was sharing, this tired, old, natives as savages kind of thing. Have you ever been on set and just shook your head and thought, I can't believe this is happening again?
I have been on set, and when it does happen, I usually step in. Because
nice.
The movies that I'd been a part of, like Woman Walks Ahead. I was a part of that. And when they get something wrong, I don't appreciate it. And I do stand up and I do have to, you know, say, no, we eat with spoons, you know, or we drink from the bowl, one of the two. You know, we don't just rub it on our face. It's just wrong. And it doesn't have to be like violent or anything. It just say, hey, you know, that's not right. You guys know that. And 9 times out of 10, the director or the producer would say, you know what, you're right. You know, we shouldn't do that. And, you know, that's all it takes. Now, most films with Native, especially period pieces, will have a Native consultant, and that's what their job is. So if the movie doesn't have one, then it's up to, you know, the crew or the director or the producer to, you know, police themselves. And I don't know if News of the World had a Native consultant in it, but, you know, if they miss that, then they weren't doing their job, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely. Vincent, do you know, I'm guessing they didn't have one, and I'm guessing there's going to be some Kiowas that are not pleased with this production.
Well, you know, some of the words that Johanna, the young actress, spoke were Kiowa words. So, you know, and I am not a Kiowa speaker, nor do I know Kiowa, so I cannot attest to that. So I would love to hear some of the voices out there who are Kiowa who would say, you know, she did the best she could or this, that. And the thing is it was a really magical movie. Tom Hanks did. So I'm telling you, he's going to get an Oscar nomination for this. It was beautiful, but it was just so, I was just so disappointed in that one moment that it could have just cleaned up everything a little better, you know, because this could have happened possibly, you know, I don't know. But, you know, I was uplifted by a lot of the other films this year, and I did like this movie in some senses, but I just, that just hurt. You know, I was just like, oh, it reminded me of Charlie, I think it was Charlie Heel in Real Engine by Neil Diamond, who said that, you know, Kevin Costner's Dances with Wolves, the one white woman who was the Native, like they took her in. He said she looked like Betty Rubble. So, it's like, what, she can't comb her hair? It's just like her face was all muddy, and it's like, what? Like, they don't, you know, I don't know. I mean, Native people, you know.
I know, I thought that was funny, too. Like, all the Native women had these beautiful, perfect combed hair, perfect braids, and then they just let her walk around like she woke up yesterday.
I know. I was like, it was really funny. So, but, you know. But, you
well,
know, other than
if you
that,
wanna,
I've been uplifted this year.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk more about what's coming up and what we watched this year. And if you want to weigh in on it, give us a call. 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. Let's take a call. We've got Melvin in Santee, Nebraska, tuned in on KZYK. Hey there, Melvin. Nice to hear from you.
Yeah, good morning. You know, it's nice to hear that these guys are working on a all Indian movie. Everybody, I remember back in the 80s or 90s, there was a show called Northern Exposure, and they had a few Indian actors in there, and I watched it for that reason. They had more than one Indian at that time. You know, and listening to the Tom Hanks thing, God, you know, I don't know how they missed that. You know, that kind of turns me off.
Yeah, me too. I think I'll check it out, but I will yell at the screen when that scene comes on for sure. Melvin, nice to hear from you. Thanks so much for giving us a call, and hope you have a good holiday. Pierre, did you watch Northern Exposure?
I did. And it was a great show that had, you know, one of the first recurring Native characters on it. Well, in modern times, I mean, you had, like, you know, the Lone Ranger with Tonto and, you know, Jay Silver Hills and his role in that. But, it was a great show, and it really was more about Alaska than, you know, than anything else. So it didn't focus on Native issues or anything like that, so.
Yeah, I would like to see a newer version, maybe, that is just Alaska Native, an all-Alaska Native cast. I think that the time has come for that. I mean, of course, we had Molly of Denali, or Denali, this year come out, which features an Alaska Native girl in a cartoon, which was pretty great. And if you caught that or any other kids' shows and you want to tell us about them, give us a call, 1-800-996-2848. Vince, what else did you watch this year? What are you excited about?
Oh, gosh, there was, of course, New Mutants, as we know, with Blue Hunt, and I was fortunate enough to interview her about that, and she was really endearing person. She, you know, and I was really kind of upset with the reviews because they got into a hard spot because they were supposedly the last film to sign an agreement that they had to, show themselves in theaters. So that really hurt them, I think. And they got some pretty rough reviews. And the thing is, I watched it and I was like, what are these jaded reviewers about? You and I had talked about this before, about how I always give glowing reviews, but I don't like to just tear it apart. I like to kind of build up where I can, you know. But New Mutants, I loved it. You know, I was back in the day reading New Mutants when it came out, you know, by Chris Claremont, who, you know, here there was a Native hero on the cover. I was like, what is that? You know, I was like, wow. So I loved it. It was very, very visceral. It was very emotional, very psychological, and it's supposed to be. And that's, you know, it's about teenagers coming into their own, because mutant powers pretty much come around in the mutant universe the same time that your hormones and teenage kind of bodies are changing, the same way, you know we might change physically, mentally, you know, all the things we have to contend with, and they're contending with their powers the same way. So this is the same type of thing, and I really, really enjoyed it. So I was like, get out of here, you jaded reviewers. You know, and I gave it a good review. I thought it was an excellent movie. Excellent.
Pierre, what about you? Did you get to see New Mutants?
I did on the first day of release. It was a good show. I think it stuck to the comic book quite well. There were a few spots where it was like, that's kind of weird. But that series, you know, or that show would have been that. It would have been weird. It would have been psychological. So, I mean, it was a good show. I liked it.
When you watch movies, do you automatically check out like the background and the sets going on, since you're, a set dresser, Pierre?
That's a question I get asked often. So when I watch a movie, I watch it usually twice. The first time I watch it just to watch it and just to be taken away into the world that's created, et cetera, et cetera. The second time I'll watch it to see, oh, wow, that's a great set. Oh, look what they do with that light. Or, you know, look how they arrange these actors in front of me. You know, and I do look at it as that, because I am still learning as a filmmaker how to make things better, so that the next time I'm working, I can say, hey, you remember this from this show? And, you know, maybe we can try that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do that too with sound when I'm listening to things and I think, oh, I really like that, or, oh, that's terrible sound. I hope they leave that out next time around. Well, Pierre, I know you got an opportunity to work on some movies this year, not as much as you normally would have. What was that like for, you know, to go back to work and in this time of pandemic?
It was kind of scary, actually. I started off the year with a movie called Harder They Fall, which was filming in New Mexico. I think they've wrapped now. I started there, and I was on that movie when the pandemic hit. And, of course, the star of the show, Idris Elba, was one of the first actors to come out with the positive COVID. So that's what shut us down. And so it was a kind of a fear thing. Then I was off for like a couple of months, you know, doing the quarantine thing, self-isolation, et cetera, et cetera. And I went to work on Reservation Dogs over in Tulsa. Now, thank goodness for the capacity of movies, because the protocols they set in place were amazing. They wanted all of us to be safe. They wanted us all to be taken care of. So, you know, we got tested quite a bit. To this day, my last day of work was a week and a half ago, and I had 102 tests total.
Holy.
From all the work I've been doing. Yes. So when you're on set, you're tested at least every other day. And
is it the nasal test? They're like scraping the top of your brain with the swab?
Yeah, pretty much. It's the nasal test, or you get a spit test. The spit test, of course, is, you know, way easier. But after a while, you just kind of get used to it. Because you have to do this in order to work. So,
and I know the film industry is so important, particularly to Native Americans, folks working in the film industry. And so to be able to have those opportunities, particularly here in New Mexico with, you know, we had some pretty hefty restrictions going on. I think it's a really great thing that you were able to at least work on some things while we're all locked down. Today we are talking about pop culture and whatever you got to check out this year. If you want to weigh in on it, did you see some Native characters you want to talk about, give us a call. The number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. I want to add another voice to the conversation. Joining us now is Tiffany Midge. She's a poet and humorist and author of Bury My Heart at Chuck E. Cheese's. And Tiffany is Hunk Papa Lakota. Welcome back to Native America Calling, Tiffany.
Hi. How's it going?
Thanks. It's going good. We're talking about some of my favorite things, what we watched on television, what we got to watch. I didn't get to go to any movies this year, but, there were some things I got to see on TV. What about you, Tiffany? What did you watch while you were in isolation or hunkering down during quarantine?
Well, the first thing that came to mind is, you know, we started off quarantining in March. Is when people started hunkering down and making bread. And, you know, Tiger King came on Netflix. And it seemed like for a month that was all anybody was talking about, Tiger King.
Tiger King. Okay. For our listeners who don't know, this is on Netflix, and it's a documentary series about this guy who owned a bunch of tigers in Oklahoma. And I'm sort of spoiling it, but he goes to jail because he tries to order a hit on one of his tiger rivals. It is unbelievable. This documentary is unbelievable. Tiffany, did you watch it all at once? I watched it literally within 2 days.
Probably stayed up all night watching most of it. Yeah. Yeah. We were pretty spellbound by the whole thing, you know. Poor tigers, though. I felt so bad for the tigers. They were awful.
I did.
What they'd done to them.
I did.
Yeah.
I did, too. Vince, did you weigh in on Tiger King at all?
Oh, no.
I thought for sure you would have seen it as a vegan and as somebody who cares a lot about animals.
I don't know. I didn't get around to it. Sometimes I'll jump on board, but sometimes I don't ride that train. You know what I mean? I'm like, okay, everybody else has seen it. I don't know. Something about it just didn't.
You know what? I respect that. Everybody was going crazy about it. They were talking about it. And it just comes a point where you're like, maybe I won't. I there were lots of people in my life who refused to watch it, even though I tried to make them watch it. So they talked to me about it. But anyway, Tiffany, let's talk about some other things that you saw, or particularly things with Native folks in it that really caught your eye.
Well, the first thing that came to mind, too, was Barkskins on National Geographic Channel. That was like they had all this like Native writers and consultants. A lot of Native writers that we recognize, you know, like writers for stuff that's going on in the future. And I watched most of that. And it was pretty compelling. And the sets were like really, really true to form. And they were just so fascinating to watch. And it was about the English and the French colonists to the New World. in like Canada. It's like a series that was based off of a book by what's that lady? What's the name of that? Aunt Annie Prue. Annie Prue. She wrote Brokeback Mountain.
okay.
But it's not like Brokeback Mountain. It's utterly different than Brokeback Mountain, but it had a lot of Native characters in it. So that made it really interesting to watch. I thought bark skins meant like when they take the, because they're like clear cutting to build these colonies. And so I thought it meant like the skin of the tree or something. That might be part of it, but it actually means it's like a term for indentured servants. And
oh, wow.
Bark skins, which is kind of like, I wonder where that came from. I didn't like do heavy research on this or anything, but but it was just really interesting. So like kudos to the people that the folks that were involved with that. And then I have to kind of give a shout out to like movies like Blood Quantum, because even though it was released like in 2019, people, you know, didn't really see it until 2020 when it came on the Shudder channel.
Yeah.
And you could, you know, available to stream. So I kind of think of that as like a 2020 movie. Because everybody that I know
true.
Is sort
it's
of like.
It's true. And we did a show. We did a show about it this year. And we had some actors from it on as well. And we can talk more about Blood Quantum after the break if you guys want. We'll also take your calls if you'd like. The number to join us is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. We are doing a pop culture roundup today. What did you watch while you were stuck at home? What caught your eye? We want to hear from you. Give us a call, 1-800-996-2848. We'll be right back.
Support for journalism that raises the awareness of child well-being to citizens and to policymakers provided by the Annie E. Casey Foundation, building a brighter future for children, families, and communities. Information at aecf.org.
Support by Navajo Language Renaissance, presenting Rosetta Stone Navajo for iPads, iPhones, Chromebooks, and Android devices with 2 learning levels and a self-correcting pronunciation feature. Info at NavajoRenaissance.org.
You are tuned in to Native America Calling. I'm Monica Brain, joining you today through Skype. And it's our pop culture roundup show. We're talking with Tiffany Midge. She's a poet and humorist and author of Bury My Heart at Chuck E. Cheese's. Also, Vincent Schilling is the associate editor for Indian Country Today. And Pierre Barrera is an actor and director, and he works in the movie industry. And let's go to the calls. Let's go to the phone lines. If you want to weigh in, if you want to share with us what you saw this year, any Native characters that really stood out to you, give us a call, 1-800-996-2848. We've got Michael in Jemez Pueblo tuned in on KUNM. Hey there, Michael.
Hey, how you doing? Thank you for taking my call. Yeah, I have a question for you guys. I was wondering if you've seen the long version of Dancing with Wolves and the short version, and what you thought of the two in comparison. And also, I was hearing they might do a remake of Avatar. And also, there's on Netflix, there's Indian Horse, the movie. Anytime Clint Eastwood was involved with production or whatever, it come out with a good product. And one of the stars is from Albuquerque, Forrest Goodluck. And I sing with Shinko Ska here in Albuquerque, and we did a premiere at Bosque Schools where Forrest Goodluck went to school, and it was pretty good. It was a really good Q&A.
Yeah, it was nice. We've had Forrest on a few times, and he's always very gracious with his time, and we really appreciate that. Vince, I'm going to throw this to you. Have you seen the two versions of Dances with Wolves? I'm guessing maybe there's like a shortened version for television.
Yeah, there was a little bit more Native content in the longer version, and I've always wondered if it was almost like apologetic or something in like a director's cut, because as many people know, it got a little bit of a backlash in terms of considering that there were some stereotypical things, like there was most everybody was wearing headdresses in some scenes, or you know, I just remember hearing a lot of backlash about it. And I have seen the two, and you know, I think that Kevin Costner was like, he meant well. And then, of course, we all know that a lot of times the best intentions aren't always the catalyst for great results. And, you know, but what it did is it gave a lot of exposure to Native actors who went on to continue to do good things. You know, you got Graham Greene, you've got, you know, a lot of different actors who did some great stuff afterwards. And I even know that Renee Haynes, who started out on helping with some of the casting on that, you know, with some of the walk-on roles, it has really been doing a lot of good work these days. You know, as we all know, there's so many great projects coming up now. I mean, look at the Hawkeye, look at, you know, all these, you know, with Lockwood Cox and things. So I think that, you know, sometimes things may be a little rough at the beginning, but it always pays off if people are diligent. And as we all know, Indian country, we're nothing if not diligent in terms of trying to get our voices out there.
That's true. We shout from the tops of the mountains, get it right, get it right. Vince, what about Avatar? Is there another, I thought maybe there was a second Avatar coming out, but I wasn't sure.
Yeah, I've heard rumors, and that's as far as I know about that. I even asked Wes Studi about it, and he says, "Well, I don't know." You know, he wasn't sure, but I do remember. So I don't know. I do remember doing a story on Northern Exposure we were talking about a little bit earlier, and I actually did interview Elaine Miles, who was one of the regular characters on there, and they were talking about a revamp of that. I don't know how that went through, but, you know, that'd be cool as heck. I'd love to see that again, but, you know. But all said, there was some great stuff this year. You know, and there's great stuff. I have my top five. I'll tell you guys a little bit, and not all of them are Native films because I just love movies of every sort, you know, but it'd be really cool to see something with Avatar. I know they were talking about a follow-up, like kind of a, you know, I don't know if it was going to be kind of a prequel or a sequel, but, you know, like I said, just rumors at this point.
Well, Vince, why don't you give us your top five for the year?
So, New Mutants not included in the list because I consider it one of the top movies that I really, really enjoyed. But the number five one is Spontaneous. I don't know if you heard of it, where students in the school just spontaneously explode, you know, like showering people with blood and guts. Yeah, and then it's pretty wild because it's a commentary on, you know, the social schematic of high school, and it's pretty wild. Number four is Train to Busan's follow-up of Peninsula, which is a zombie killing spree, in North Korea, and it's a pretty incredible movie. Queen's Gambit was one of my favorites. Absolutely awesome. Really incredible. It's about, Anya Taylor-Joy as a chess player. Is really incredible. It's actually one of the top in Netflix this year. And then I really, really loved this really off. You got to search to find it, but it's called I, Human. The small I and capital H, I, Human, where it follows how, artificial intelligence is tracking every single facial recognition thing. Every single time you use your phone, every time you scroll across your phone, it's showing you what Google, Instagram, Facebook, everybody is doing with this, governments are doing with this information. And it's really, really unsettling. And the top movie for me is Blood Quantum, with, of course, one of my favorite actors is Michael Gray Eyes. And the worst movie of the year was a toss-up between Fantasy Island and Brahms, The Boy 2. Horrible movie.
I can't
believe
you watched either of those. That's hilarious. Well, what about you, Tiffany? What do you think is, like, the best thing you saw this year?
There is a really great documentary that probably came out earlier than 2020, but I think it was probably released. It was called There Are No Fakes, and it was a documentary about art forgery of the First Nations artist Norval Morrissey, and it really blew my hair back.
Art forgery, and it was really, really interesting. Yeah, this is a really interesting topic. The idea that, people are faking Native art, And the government is finally, like, you know, cracking down on this. Here in the States anyway, there's a big sting operation. I think it was last year when it came to jewelry and things like that. So I'm definitely going to check that out. Did you catch that on Netflix?
I can't recall. I think it was on Prime when I saw it. I definitely okay. recommend it. It was just like they should make a mini series, like a drama of the whole thing. Because there's just so much that was unwound from that. It wasn't just about art forgery. It was just about all these other sorts of, you know, weird, you know, underground things, you know, like crime and things. Yeah. Great noir crime idea.
I love it. What about you, Pierre? What was the best thing you saw this year?
Just a bit reversal of what Vince had in his top two. Blood Quantum for me was number two. Very good zombie film. Very good, you know, all-around film. And Michael does a great job in it. Queen's Gambit was probably the best thing I saw this year. Compelling and just so interesting because I love chess. I love playing chess. So it was one of those things that I had to watch.
I have to confess, I have not seen Blood Quantum yet because I was just so excited for it. And I was afraid to get disappointed, even though I have no indication whatsoever that I would be disappointed. It's like, Pierre, have you ever done that where you're like, so excited for something that you're like, man, maybe I just won't watch it because I'm afraid.
Yes. I was so up for the Avengers Infinity War. It's one of my favorite comic book lines, and I wanted to watch it so bad. And when I saw it, I was so disappointed. And I was just like, ugh. Why? You know, there were so many things, but coming back with Endgame, they kicked it. They hit it out of the park. They kicked the goal, everything. It was fantastic.
Vince, anything you want to weigh in on the Marvel Universe? We, you know, it's kind of quiet this year, and I'm not sure what the future holds for it.
Quiet to me. It ain't quiet to me because I was in Werewolf by Night as Tribal Officer Schilling, so I have a comic book character.
That's right.
So the Marvel Universe is screaming loud to me. Although, I am waiting for more movies to come out. But, you know, Alakwa Cox, as we know, will be coming out because Disney Plus is killing it. They are killing it. They are doing a What If series, and What If was the Marvel Comics rendition of, like, alternate universe. Like, what if the Hulk, killed his last person, or what if someone else was bitten by the radioactive spider? So all these what if things are and Taika Waititi is going to be doing one of those as well. And Hawkeye, as some of the listeners may or may not know, is going to be with Jeremy Renner, of course, as Hawkeye. But we have a newcomer to the scene, Alakwa Cox, who's playing Echo. And Echo is a superhero who can mirror and mimic the movements of anyone exactly, identically. Like choreography that she would see would happen immediately. And she's also deaf. The character is deaf and native in the Marvel Universe. And Alakwa Cox herself is deaf and native. So it's incredibly exciting.
Oh, wow.
Yes. So I did a post on TikTok, got tons of views. And just a side note to pop culture, if anyone out there in Indian country is interested in getting on TikTok, the native family is massive on TikTok. In like little under a month, I went from 300 to 10,000 followers. It is going and it is lit. I encourage everyone, if you're native, get on TikTok because there's some amazing content on there. It's just absolutely incredible, and they're doing everything to support that. I'm going to be interviewing TikTok about this, so it's incredible. But there's a lot of exciting stuff out there, so thanks to Taboo and B. Earl for putting me in issues 2, 3, and 4 of Werewolf by Night as Tribal Officer Schilling. It's pretty amazing. That's like a dream come true for a native nerd.
I know. I can't wait to see it. It's going to be pretty cool. Well, let's take a call before we wrap up today. We've got Daryl in La Coeur d'Alene, Wisconsin, La Coeur d'Alene, Wisconsin, tuned in on WOJB. Hey there, Daryl. What do you want to share?
Hey, Hi, how are you doing?
Good, good.
The movie I want to see, I've seen a trailer for it, Nobody, and it's just coming out. But I've been watching documentaries on Viper TV about Sumerian civilization and their cuneiforms, which is the very first human being writing. And in those cuneiforms, they find out, you know, how did they get all this technology? You know, plow, the water wheels, and all this technology. And these cuneiforms, they state they got it from the Anunnaki, which translates to those from the sky that came to the earth. And this is like 33,000 years before Christ. Interesting.
Wow. I love it. I love a good documentary that it kind of sets everything that you originally thought on end and makes you, you know, question what we were taught in our classrooms growing up. I appreciate that. Thanks for giving us a call, Daryl. And Tiffany, we're getting close to the end of the hour. Anything else that really stood out for you this year?
I wanted to mention Lovecraft Country, because that just seemed to just bend everybody's minds in two. There was a Native American character in that that people were pretty shook about the event of the, you know, the first appearance. Lots of controversy around that one. So if anybody saw Lovecraft Country or hasn't seen it, it's a really, really special program. Really good series.
That one's on, it's on HBO, is that right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. It was a Jordan Peele production. Based on a book. Yeah, based on this author that wrote a book. But yeah, so that was really great. Nexium,
awesome.
Cult documentary too. So.
Awesome. And Pierre, what about you? Anything else you want to, you know, wrapping up this year and thinking about pop culture, what really stayed with you?
I have to say, being the science nerd that I am, both the Star Wars franchise and the Star Trek franchise both just killed it with their series Mandalorian on the Star Wars side and Discovery on Star Trek side. Just their episodic television is fantastic.
I know. I can't believe we've spent this whole hour talking and we haven't mentioned Baby Yoda once. I mean, Baby Yoda is like everything to Native America. Vince?
It's Grogu.
Sorry. I apologize to all the Star Wars fans for saying the incorrect name.
No, Baby Yoda's right. It's just they just revealed it as Grogu. So, but I'm curious what's to happen with it. I agree with Pierre. And hey, Pierre. Hey, Tiffany. By the way, I wanted to greet them as well. Say hey. But yeah, I don't know what's going to happen. I look forward to see what's going to happen because they ended on an interesting note that you wonder where it's going to go next.
Well, you can catch anything that Vincent's written about in Indian Country today. We've got a link on our website. I'll try to get some of the pieces that he wrote about up on our website too, NativeAmericaCalling.com. Tiffany Midge, we've got a link to her book. We've got the Goodreads link if you want to go write a review about Bury My Heart at Chuck E. Cheese's. And Pierre, where can we find you?
I'm on Facebook and eventually I'll be coming out with a TikTok.
Fantastic. That's right. Follow everybody on TikTok, including Vincent, if you want to get some funny videos and things like that. Well, thanks so much for joining us today. Thanks so much to our guests, Pierre Barrera, Vincent Schilling, and Tiffany Midge. We're back tomorrow with a special episode of Music and Talk. Have a good one. Happy holidays. We'll be right back.
healthcare.gov, 1-800-318-2596. Yes, ma'am, me, to Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services.
Support by Amerind, Indian Country's 100% tribally owned insurance partner. Amerind works with tribal governments and their business enterprises to provide effective commercial insurance coverage, strengthen Native American communities, protect tribal sovereignty, and help keep dollars in Indian Country. More information on property, liability, workers' compensation, and commercial auto solutions at Amerind.com. That's AMERIND.com.
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting with support from the Public Radio Satellite Service. Music is by Brent Michael Davids. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.